gifting. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back tonight as Stuart will be directing our thoughts. And we surely appreciate so very much all of you as you continue your prayers for those that are sick and seeking to do the will of the Lord. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Thank you, Joe, for reading 1 John chapter 2. My little children, here we find John's writing. John is writing to the children of God. He says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. You know and I know, God doesn't want us to sin. And he writes now to children of God, my little children. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. What's an advocate? Well, an advocate is one that pleads for you, that goes between two, like God between God and man. Jesus is that advocate. And he says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And notice, he is the propitiation for our sins. What does the word propitiation mean? Well, it means removing the wrath of God, the removing of, therefore, the guilt of man. This is all done, John says, through our advocate with the Father. And that advocate is spoken of as Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. And notice he says, he's the propitiation for our sins, but not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The blood of Jesus is the only means of cleansing of sin by anybody, anywhere in the whole world. And then notice he says, hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. You got to know his commandments in order to know what to keep. The commandments of the Lord are so important. We know Christ by knowing what? What Christ says through the Word. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. What is he? He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. If you say you're a Christian, but you don't do what Christians are supposed to do, what is John saying? John is saying, you're saying that which is false. You're a liar. You're not keeping his commandment. But verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, let in him verily is the love of God perfected. When you keep the word, you got to know it. It's got to be preached so you can know it. And when you turn to the word of the Lord and you know what the Lord has to say and you do it, the Bible says that the love of God is perfected. It's perfected in you. Why? Because you've heard the word, you believe the word, and you've obeyed the word. And therefore, John says, hereby know we that we are in him. We know we're in him on the basis of what? On the basis of keeping the word that we know that came from God. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. In Hebrews 5, to give you an illustration of that, Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Just as Christ obeyed God, so we should likewise obey Christ. We should do his will. We should walk as he walked. He always wanted to do the will of God in heaven. We need assurance of that great salvation. Blessed assurance. When God's made a promise to us, we know that God cannot lie. Titus 1, verse 2. And he will keep that promise. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said, he that heareth my word, here again, the emphasis placed upon the word, and believeth on him that sent me, believeth the word, and believeth the one that spoke that word, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Number one, blessed assurance. We want to be assured that what we're doing is right. That God is going to give us what He's promised to give us. We know that He will. Whenever we know that the Word of God says that God knows each one of His people. In Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, Jesus said, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after they have no more that they can do." Jesus has pointed out that you ought to fear. But He said, "I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Sparrows were worth about 0.5 penny. And if God is so concerned about the birds, so concerned about the sparrows, He's concerned about us, which is much more valuable, when the Lord said that you are more valuable than many sparrows. "Also I say unto you," Jesus said, "whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." It's clear. It's straightforward. Here we have the message and the word of the Lord. If we believe in Him, if we confess Him, if we walk in keeping with His will, we can be assured that He knows us. We're His people, and He cares for us. Number one, when you do that, you're added to the church of the Lord. In Acts 2, verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." When you obey the gospel of Christ, you're added to what? To the family of God. To the church of the Lord. By whom? You're added by the Lord. Acts 2, verse 47. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You're in the family of God. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." God knows you. He knows who you are. When you obey the gospel, you're obedient to the Lord. You're added. You're added by the Lord to the church. Who does the adding? The Lord. To whom does he add? To the family of God. Therefore, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." How do you get in the church? You're baptized into the body of Christ. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." God knows you. He knows us. Blessed assurance that now we're known as the people of God when we're obedient, when we do His will, when we walk with Him, and therefore as we've been baptized into His family, thank God, we have that assurance that God knows us. Moses, indeed, was faithful in all of his house as a servant. For a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards, but Christ as a son over His own house. Christ over whom? Over His own family, His own house, whose house we are. We are the house, the family of God. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. If, used so frequently in the Bible, the condition, Christ has us as His house or His family, and He's over Him. Paul, as he writes to Timothy, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, which I was appointed as a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. And for this reason, Paul, for what reason? All of this is said to show why he makes this statement. For this reason, I also suffer these things. But nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, but I know whom I have believed. Friend, right there is a statement we need to remember. Don't ever forget it. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Blessed assurance to those who know whom you have believed. And I am persuaded, Paul said, that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that great day. Blessed assurance, because we're children of God. We're in the family of God. And he knows us, number two. We have blessed assurance that God is going to work together all things good for us, His people. Sometimes folks have to go through some suffering, pain. Sometimes God's people don't understand a lot of things that happen to them. Bad things do happen. And sometimes even bad things happen to those who are God's people. And the question comes, why? And the answer is, it's all working together by God for your good. In Romans 8, verse 28, Paul writes to these Romans, says, for we know. What do you know, Paul? You're not in doubt about. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto me until that last day. And now I know that God will work together all things for my good, for those who love the Lord, and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Isn't that a wonderful assurance? Assurance that God, our God, knows us. And it matters not what we have to go through. God has made a promise, and that promise is all things will work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. In James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, Paul writes, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you or suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Paul, who are you talking about? The one who said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he will keep that which I have committed in him against that great day. The one who is a child of God, who is serving the Lord, faithful to the Lord, they have that blessed assurance that all things, everything will work together for their good. For this reason I also suffered these things, Paul said. And then he noticed, we repeat, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed unto him against that great day. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. You mean, Paul, you're in chains? Yes. Why are you in chains? Because I've been preaching the gospel. I thought all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. That's good. Because when you suffer for Christ, you're like Christ. For which I suffer, he says, trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the Word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And this is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, we also shall live with Him. Blessed assurance. Knowing that if we die, even for Him, surely all things will work together for our good. This is a faithful saying. If we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, don't give up. If we're faithful, who we, like Paul, serving Jesus Christ. He says, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. But yet, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we're faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Some may deny Him. Some may quit. Some may, as the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Why? Because He is our Lord. In Romans chapter 6, after Paul had talked in chapter 5, verses 20, beginning, how that where there was sin, grace did so much more abound. And the conclusion was, the more I sin, the greater grace I'll have. So why not sin more, that more grace may come to me? Paul answers that. What does he say? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not, or God forbid. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism in the death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. And knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Died with Christ. Crucified with Him as He was baptized. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Friends, I don't think you can make it any clearer from the Scriptures. When we figured out that we're drowning in our sins, when we figured out that we're just hopelessly lost without God, children of God, made a decision. We made a decision. We chose to accept the grace of God by obeying God's Word. We believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. We repented. We changed. We confessed the sweet name of Jesus. And we were baptized for the remission of our sins. Why? Because we made a decision. What was that decision? That decision was, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I choose to serve Him. He's told me to believe Him. Repent, confess, and be baptized. And our decision is, that's what we did. We hope that to be your decision too. We're then therefore in Christ. By the way, that expression in Christ is used 169 times in the New Testament. Being in Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Blessed assurance, sing with me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory, beautiful. heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Everybody, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance that God will look out for us. What a wonderful, thrilling thing it is to be able to preach. We're a child of God. You are a chosen individual. When you endure, there's no temptation that's going to overtake you, because God's going to make a way for you to escape it. And God, with that confidence in Him, will do what He says. No wonder in Proverbs 3, verse 26, the Bible says, "For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you." Let me repeat that. God said it. He meant it. It's for us. God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, what? "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Blessed assurance. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure blood, pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. No wonder John tells us in 1 John 2, verse 3, that just as we keep His commandments, we're to walk according to His will. The only way that you and I can get to know God is what He wants from us by reading and studying the Bible. If we choose to neglect it, then we're setting ourselves up for failure. And we're not going to have the confidence that we should. This is an easy concept to understand because all of us knows what it feels like to be confident and then unconfident. For instance, when you're in school and you prepared for tests by studying all the teacher told you to do, you'd be confident that you would pass the test because you were very familiar with the information. However, if you didn't prepare for a test, then you would not be confident because you knew that you didn't know much about the topic. And most likely your feeling was correct and you probably failed the test. When we read the passages like we've read today, God is the source of our confidence, blessed assurance. He's our rock, He's our anchor. And when we put our trust in Him and we see that He is always there for us, it should give us confidence in Him and our salvation. Remember, God doesn't want anybody to be lost, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. You step back and you take a look at everything that God has done for us. You and I will have to agree that surely everything concerning salvation, our part, is left up to us. But we have to choose to obey and endure until the end. Knowing this should help us to all the assurance that we need in our salvation. Let me, in conclusion, you know and I know, if you neglect the Word of God, you're like throwing your confidence away. The Bible tells us not to do that. Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. We live by the word of God. But if any man draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who draw back to perdition, the Hebrew writer says, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So in conclusion, don't neglect God's Word. Don't throw away your confidence in the Lord. The more confidence you lose in God, the more you tend to put in man, which is not a good thing, you know, because man will fail you. Psalms 118, verse 8, surely help us. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I love the teaching of God's Word concerning the blessed assurance because Jesus is mine. Is He yours? If you're not a Christian this morning, arise now. Come forward. Confess the name of Jesus and be baptized. Turn today. And if you're a child of God and you haven't lived faithfully and you don't have these blessed assurances, why? It's all because of your decision. Come now, ask God to forgive you. Let us pray with you and for you. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is pleading. We're singing to encourage you. Won't you come while together we stand?